You'll stand to your feet with me, please. I just want to read one verse, and then we're going to be preaching out of this chapter today in Malachi, chapter number 3. I guess if you were Italian, you could call it Malachi. I don't know about that for sure. But anyway, Malachi 3, verse number 6. The Bible said, "For I am the Lord." How many is glad you know that? Did you know there's a lot of places in the world that they don't know that? They don't know that He's the Lord. Amen. All kinds of confusion. Then He said, "I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." You see, God had made Israel a promise. He had made Abraham a promise. And at this time in history, Israel had turned its back on God. But God said, because I don't change, in other words, I don't make a promise. In so many words, God's saying, I'm not a politician. I don't make a promise and then change. Amen. When I make a promise, my promises are true and they stay true. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you this morning for my people. We thank you, Lord, for our church. And Lord, something like air conditioning that we take for granted Sunday after Sunday, we thank you, Lord, for the comfort, the place that you've given us, the comfort, Lord, that we have in our homes and in our church. And Lord, I do believe it's good for us every once in a while to be uncomfortable, because Lord, perhaps it would keep us from taking for granted the blessings of our Lord. Lord, we pray today that you'll bless the message, bless the messenger. And I pray this might be the day, Lord, that someone would get in their mind. There's a place a whole lot hotter than Bible Way this morning. Lord, as we visited yesterday, we, Lord, saw many, many, many great visits. And God, we just pray you continue to work in the ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church. Help us to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. For truly, Lord, Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. We love you, Lord, all because you first loved us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'd like to preach this morning on an unchanging God in an ever-changing world. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. I think back to my childhood. I think back, I can remember the late 60s pretty good. I can remember the 70s real well. And I was graduated from high school in the 70s, 77. And of course, my children, I got married, my children, there's many, many wonderful memories. Never did I think that we would see the day that we see now, where the world has changed its mind about so many things. The Olympic opening exercise, if that's what you want to call it, mocking the things of God. And the Olympic Committee apologized for offending so many people. They were boxed in a corner. They just about had to. But the ones that performed it did not apologize. They said, "We're here. You might as well get used to it." Let me say something to you this morning. It will be to our detriment if we ever get used to sin. Amen. We better not get used to it. Years ago, the McCameys sang a song, "Getting Used to the Dark." And if we're not careful, that's exactly what we'll do. Amen. We're living in a world where not only are they putting women in pulpits now, but they're putting homosexuals or sodomites, if you want to call it that. That's a Bible term, in pulpits. We're living in a world, beloved, where evil is called good and good is called evil. But what I want to encourage you with today is to understand that we serve a God that does not change. That's our hope for our children and our grandchildren. I got to spend some time with Sawyer and Olivia this week in charity. And it's my hope, as I watch them run around in the yard, it's my hope that The Lord Jesus will see them through this wicked world the same way that he has seen me through. There's several things I want to call your attention to in the chapter this morning that I do not believe God will ever change his mind about. The first thing, if you look in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Behold, I send my messenger before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years." The first thing I would call your attention to is God will never change his mind concerning his son. The Bible talks about John the Baptist here coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And beloved, I want you to know that when this was written, it was already determined that Jesus would be the way. And beloved, today Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. There's some things that I want to call your attention to. Number one, it's a way that's prepared. I got to thinking about this as I studied last night some more. I started on this in the week. But as I studied some more, I thought about, you know, you don't always, when you go out like we did yesterday and visiting and encouraging folks, you don't always see the results right now. But many times God is using his people and using his word to prepare the way for someone else that they might come to know the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist was that. He was a man that was humble. He said, "I'm not that light, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light." Honey, that's the way we are as God's people. We're not that light, but thank God we can bear witness of that light. I want to say with John, "There's one coming after me," John said, "whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." Say amen. Beloved, it's not about us increasing. He must increase and we must decrease. And the Word of God talks about it's a way that's prepared. And then it's a way that's powerful. That Jesus, the Bible said he's not changed his mind about his son. Why? Because, beloved, as Sister Ree sang a while ago, "I know a man who can." There's only one that has the power to deliver from sin. There's only one that has the power to snatch that soul out of the hands of the wicked, say amen, and deliver that soul and change that life. The Word of God said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." I don't know about you, but I thank God that we serve a God that's still changing lives. Amen. Not just in salvation, but in sanctification. We're supposed to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day of our life, we ought to be a little closer to him, a little more like him. Amen. In our lives. And so it's a way that's prepared, a way that's powerful, but then it's a way that's personal. In other words, beloved, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But I cannot decide for them, and they cannot decide for me. Each one of us as individuals must come to Calvary, must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and admit, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. It's me. I love what the psalmist David said in Psalm 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Glory to God. I like that word, my. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is the one, beloved, that made a way at Calvary so that I could escape that awful place called hell and be saved by the grace of God. And then it's a way that's permanent. I like this, beloved. There's a lot of things changing. There are a lot of things that's temporary. But thank God there's one thing that's permanent, and that's the salvation that God gives. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "I know them." He said, "I give unto them eternal life." and they shall never perish. I like that. Say amen. Never, never, ever, never, ever, never. If I didn't have another verse of scripture, I'd sit down on that one right there and rest. Amen. That when a person comes to Jesus, beloved, it's a permanent salvation that he gives. The only gift that he gives is eternal life. And I thank God, beloved, for his gift. So God has not changed his mind. The world is telling us all the steeples point up and all the religions point to God. That's a lie out of hell. Honey, there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, that's awful narrow-minded. I tell you what we better do. We better stay just as narrow as that book right there. Amen. You get outside that book, you're going to get in trouble. But you stay in that book and you'll be fine. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the way. And then I want you to see this. God has not changed his mind concerning his Son. But secondly, God has not changed his mind concerning sin. The Bible said in verse number 5, "And I will come near to you to judgment." You see, everybody wants to see the gentle Jesus. Everybody wants to see the babe in a manger, and the people don't mind that too much. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, he's going to come as judge in righteousness. Amen. You see, there's a story in the Bible that not many people can come to grips with. It's where Jesus was in the temple. And Jesus, they had made his father's house a den of thieves. And it should have been a house of prayer. And you see in that situation in the temple where Jesus threw the tables over. They had a wedding reception for my granddaughter yesterday. And I could only imagine the wind turned over one vase. And it was full of water, had flowers in it, and it soaked the tablecloth. There's a big to-do to get everything fixed back before people started showing up. It blowed over the big sign they had. And believe it or not, it had a piece of glass in it that wide and that tall. It hit the concrete and did not break. That's unbelievable, amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, what I'm trying to get you a picture of is if Jesus come into something like that and was upset the way he was in the temple, he'd just start grabbing them tables and turning them upside down. I guarantee you it was something to see, amen. And he didn't only throw the tables over, but the Bible said he made a scourge of small cords and he drove them out of the temple. That's Bible, beloved. That's the same Jesus that has mercy that also comes in judgment. Amen. And he's not changed his mind about sin. He said, "I'll be swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." A lot of people, beloved, are involved in sin because simply they do not fear the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You haven't even begun to wise up until you fear the Lord and understand that one day you're going to stand before him. You're not going to stand before mom. You're not going to stand before dad. You're not going to stand before pastor. You're not going to stand before a church, but you're going to stand before a holy God. And beloved, listen, sin, God has not changed his mind about sin. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart to see what's going on. Young ladies that have worked out and competed all of their lives now just to be going up against a man. Amen. In a woman's bathing suit. Or a man in a boxing ring. Amen. I'll just go ahead and say this. You can get mad at me if you want to. But I wish the women would leave the boxing alone anyway. Amen. You get to do enough of that with your husband. Say amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, we're in a mess. And you get a man in there and 46 seconds a girl has to give up because she's never been hit that hard. There's not much at you if you can't figure out that a man can hit harder than a girl can. Say amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, we're in a mess. But God has not changed his mind about sin. Whatever he called sin in this Bible, whether it was 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago, if it was sin then, it's still sin today. Amen. They passed a law in California that it'd just be a misdemeanor as long as you don't steal over $950 worth. I'm going to tell you what, my daddy didn't know what a misdemeanor was. He didn't even know how to spell misdemeanor, amen. But if he caught me stealing a piece of chewing gum, I wish he would have figured out what a misdemeanor was. Say amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, we're in a mess. But God has not changed His mind concerning sin. And then this is going to be real popular this morning. You say, Pastor, I don't even know why you'd preach this. I'll tell you why I'm going to preach it, because it's in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I wouldn't give you a nickel for anybody that just goes through the Bible and picks and chooses what they're going to preach. Amen. Not only has God not changed His mind about His Son, and God's not changed His mind about sin, but God's not changed His mind about our substance. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the word of God said, in tithes. Somebody tell me what that next word is. No, and. The next word is and. In tithes and offerings. We don't even give God an offering until we've tithed. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You may be sitting here this morning, and you wouldn't even consider taking $5 out of the preacher's billfold. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, if you know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, the substance that God has blessed us with, a tenth of it belongs to Him. Amen. You say, Pastor, that's Old Testament scripture. Well, I'll tell you what. Just turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Would you do that for just a moment? In Matthew chapter number 23. As far as I know, Matthew's in the New Testament. Amen. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 23, the Bible said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What's this? He said, these ought you to have done. The Bible said you ought to have taken care with judgment. You ought to have taken care with mercy. You ought to have taken care with faith. He said, these ought you to have done, but watch the last part, and not to leave the other undone. God didn't say, you know, if you'll just take up judgment and mercy and faith, then you just leave the tithe off. He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, you don't leave that other undone. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 6. You say, Pastor, I just can't believe you'd preach something like that. Take it up with God. He put it in the Bible. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, Achan did. He buried that which belonged to God in his tent. The Babylonian garment was something from the world. That didn't belong to God, and it didn't belong to Achan. Amen. But the silver and the gold was supposed to come into the house of God. And Achan buried it in his tent. And all of Israel suffered. Amen. Because he had that which belonged to God buried in his tent. I know this kind of preaching is not popular, but I know it's right. God put it right here in the Bible. Amen. And I know this. It'll be a happy day when you figure out what my daddy figured out. He told me years ago, and he said, son, it took me years. But he said, I figured out something. I said, what's that, Dad? He said, God can do more with 90% in our family than I can do with 100%. Amen. That's the God that we serve. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. Look what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 6. God showed me some things when I read this last night that I hadn't seen. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm going to stop and say something right here. Beloved, listen, we don't do what God tells us to do to get something. But I will tell you this, if you don't do it because you love God, and I'm going to read it to you in a minute, you can't do it in a cheerful manner, you can't be happy, amen, to do something for the work of God, amen, then don't do it. Amen, just don't do it. But I'm going to tell you this, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart that God will never let a believer outgive Him. Say amen. I mean, you can give and you can give and you can give. I tried to give a family $100 here a little while back, and it came back to me. And it wasn't a day or two until there was another situation. And that was it. That was all that was in my billfold, amen. But I got to give it away anyway, amen, in a place where it was needed. You say, Pastor, you going to look for $100? No, I'm just looking for the Lord Jesus to come. And when he puts something on my heart, I want to be obedient to him, amen. Knowing, beloved, listen, that we do what we do because we love people and we love Jesus, amen. That's the right motive. The Bible said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad and hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Watch this. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving to God. You see, giving and thanksgiving goes together. Say amen. God said, you do what I tell you to do, and I'll tell you what, you're going to end up in a place where you can be thankful, because I'm going to bless. Watch what he said. Whilst by the experiment of the ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. When you think about what God has done for us, beloved, how in the world, amen, it's not about trying to repay him. It's just about being obedient, amen, to his will. And I tell you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to belong to a church where 35% and then Wednesday night offering all goes around the world to tell people about Jesus, amen. That's a blessing, amen. You say, well, Pastor, what would happen if everybody tithed? More people would hear about Jesus. We'd be able to help people more, amen, and do more for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what the Bible said here. Let's go back to the book of Malachi for just a moment. And I want you to know that God has not changed, and he's not going to change concerning his son, concerning sin, and concerning our substance. Look what the Bible said in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now where herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know about you. It's hard for me to ask God to bless America. I'm asking God to help America. Amen. There was a time, beloved, listen, when America as a whole, amen, realized our Judeo-Christian heritage. And beloved, the Bible had its place, amen, in the school. And the Bible had its place in the home. And the Bible had its place in the church. Did you know there's a lot of churches can have church without the Bible today? Amen. How in the world do you do that? How in the world do you have a home without the Bible? Amen. I'm telling you, we need to get this book out. And God said, I'll bless my word. I'll bless my people. And then he said in verse 13, your words have been stout against me. You see, I can look out there and I can see faces. And oh, I love to see faces in the house of God. But you know what God's doing this morning? He's looking out there and seeing hearts. There may be somebody all bucked up. You're just like they were, stout. Preach it, preacher. I ain't listening. I ain't going to do it. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're the one getting robbed of a blessing. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you hear me and you hear me well. Amen. I'm telling you, I've talked to financial people. They've said you need to make a budget. I can't tell you how many times that woman and myself have sat down raising four kids and we wrote it down and get halfway through it and throw the pencil down and say we don't even have any idea how we're making it. But every month we made it. I've never been to a pawn shop to borrow some money. Say amen. God has just blessed me over and 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 over again. Amen. I tell you, God blesses obedience. And God knows when we're a cheerful giver. We love Him. Amen. It's not been too long ago. We had a tax bill come due. And I told my wife, I said, now listen, I'm confessing. It's good for the soul. You talked about that in the prayer room. I told my wife, Brother Chris, I said, honey, I said, the church ain't going to charge us no interest. I said, the IRS is. I said, pay that tax bill and we'll catch them tithes up. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost of God's hit me right square in the heart. He said, that's the wrong way to go about it. Well, guess what? I backed up on that decision. How many glad God allows reverse? Amen. When you're going in the wrong direction, God will allow you to put it over in reverse. I backed up. I told Miss Eve, I said, honey, you put the tithes in. I said, God will take care of the taxes. Don't worry about it. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Amen. And sometimes we can just listen to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God speak to our heart. Amen. There ain't no way I was going to preach this chapter and skip that. Amen. I wouldn't give you a dime for a man that would try to preach this chapter and skip over that. It's right in the middle of it. Amen. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Let's put our tithes in. Let's put our offering in. Let's see what God does. And then, notice this. I've got two more things here this morning. I might be done before noon. Somebody will shout, amen. They might say, well, that ain't even a 20-foot wagon. It's 18-foot. Yeah, but it's stacked 4 foot deep. It'll be all right. Amen. Here we go. The next thing God never changes mind about is our service. Look in verse number 14. He said, ye have said, it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. What God's talking about here is His people had come to a place where they said, it's vain to serve the Lord. Look over at that wicked crowd. They're getting along better than we are. Amen. That's what He's talking about right here. It's vain. Well, let me just give you one verse of Scripture. One will do it. The Bible said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, you can take the devil's word for it, or you can take God's word for it. When you're serving the Lord, beloved, it's not in vain. Say amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see much happening. I'm going to tell you this right now. Beloved, listen, God don't operate on our timetable. Who are you praying for? You say, they've not yet been saved. I like the word yet. And we ought to pray expecting them, amen, to come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. But the Bible's teaching us here, I am the Lord. I change not. I still have the same mind towards my son. I still have the same mind towards sin. I still have the same mind toward your substance. And I still have the same mind toward service. I don't know about you, but you can read book after book. Jude, a servant of the Lord. Peter, a servant of the Lord. Paul, a servant of the Lord. I don't know of a greater title anywhere than be called a servant of the Lord. Amen. What a blessing it is, beloved, to get to serve the Lord. Then I'm going to give you this in closing this morning. The Bible said in verse 16, then they that feared the Lord. Is there anybody here that fears the Lord? Amen. They that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Did you know there's two groups of people in the world? Him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Watch this now. The last thing is God will never change his mind concerning his saints. I want you to see a couple of things right here. We see the victory in God's people. The Bible said here, then they that fear the Lord, they spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could realize, you know, Brother Dale, he gets done, the choir's coming down, and he says, shake hands one with another. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we realized when we shake hands and say, it's good to see you, brother. It's good to see you, sister. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we understood the Lord is listening and he likes that, amen. When people come together and there's nothing in their heart that's displeasing to him and they have sweet fellowship one with another, amen. I like what one comedian said. He said, in the world, he said, when you're talking about food, he said, they call it pigging out. He said, you go to church, talk about food, they call it fellowship. Amen. And after a while, we're going to have a meal on homecoming day, the third Sunday in August, and it's going to be a blessing, amen, to sit down. And God will see it. God will hear everything that's going on. And beloved, it all started because of the victory. We're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory. The victory has already been won at Calvary. You know, the president, when he was shot, he got up and he said, fight, fight, fight. Well, I'm going to tell you something for God's people. We need to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. We don't need to roll over and play dead while this world is walking on the church. Say amen. And thinks that we're not important. We're God's people. And he's never going to change his mind concerning his saints. And then we see the value of the saints. Look in verse 17. The Bible said here, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. You remember when Jesus talked about the sparrow, and then he talked about us. He said, are ye not much more value? I'm going to tell you something. When he's talking about his people here, he's talking about jewels. Amen. You can say whatever you want to. But when I read this, my mind started going through the pews. And I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to tell you this. There's not a person in this room that I couldn't look at and say, I consider you a jewel. You're precious to me. Well, let me tell you this. If you're precious to me, what are you to him? I didn't pay the price for your soul. He did. Amen. He's the one coming after the church. He's going to gather up his jewels. Amen. I know in this chapter he's talking to Israel. And I know that blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Beloved, God loves his church. And God loves his people. And then we see the virtue of his people. The Bible said, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Let me say something to you. Let me get you to put up a guard right here. Sometimes, I remember a preacher saying this one time. He said, everybody can tell somebody how to raise teenagers until they have teenagers. Yeah, you got a lot to look forward to, Michael. Amen. Sister Tanita, she's had practice. She's already raised you. Amen. So, amen. But I want to call your attention to something here. If we're not careful, because something's going in on our, maybe a friend or maybe a family member, if we're not careful, we'll soften our stance against sin. You know, let's just say I had an uncle that's a drunkard. Brother Ralph, I got to keep preaching. I have a son or a daughter It's going on right now in my family through extension, where a man's with a man. But I can't soften my stance. I got to stand with the Bible. Amen. People are not going to come in my office and I'm going to say, well, what you need to do is get divorced. I'm not going to soften my stance. I know that divorce is hurtful and it's hurt people and people's had to go through it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, beloved, I'm going to be aiming for reconciliation. Amen. I'm going to aim for God's aim, for God's high mark. Amen. I can't change my mind. Why not, preacher? Because God won't change His. Amen. So if we're not careful, the Bible said we will lose our ability. And by the way, the television has done nothing but help us with that. The average underwear commercial showing more flesh today than a dirty movie did years ago. Amen. And you understand what I mean. It just softens our stance. It softens our stance. It softens our stance. If we're not careful, beloved. Somebody said this one time, and I thought it was a perfect illustration. If you take this banister right here, maybe represents the church, and this can represents the world. You see, the world changes, right? Now, I represent the church, right? And, well, I got that backwards. This is the church. The world changes. The church goes here. The world goes here. Right? Oh, we got that same distance between us. Okay. The world changes again. Oh, we still got that same distance. Now somebody tell me where the church belongs. You mean all the way back over there? How in the world are we going to know where that is if we don't have this book? How are we going to know? You see, we got to have this book. And we can't soften our stance. Amen. We're not going to tell people, you join the church, you'll be okay. You let me dip you in this water hole back here, you'll be okay. Not as long as I'm breathing. Say amen. Amen. We're going to keep preaching, you must be born again. The Spirit of God must deal with your heart. And you must yield your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, preacher? Because that's the truth. Many have softened their stance on many things. But my message today is this. God's not changed His mind about His Son. His Son is still the only way. God's not changed His mind about sin. What God said's wrong is still wrong. God's not changed His mind about our substance. Amen. What He required of them years ago, He still requires of us today. And then God has not changed His mind about our service. I'll promise you, you won't pastor a church long. Brother Chris, you'll help me here till the devil will jump up on your shoulder and he'll tell you, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your breath. It's all in vain. I promise you this, Brother Chris, you may not know about it, but those years you spent in West Virginia, there's still fruit because of those years. I promise you. You may not see it. I may not see it. We may not be able to put our finger on it. But wait till we get home. God honors His Word. Amen. Some of us went out yesterday and we saw more fruit than others. But God honors His Word. Are we giving out the Word of God? And then God will not change His mind concerning His saints. How many's glad He loves us this morning? Amen. He loves us when we smell good, and He loves us when we don't smell good. Amen. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. You say, Pastor, why would you mention smelling good? Because I'm not sure right now. There's a trickle going down my spine. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. He's not changing for me, for you, or anyone else. And I'm glad of that. Brother David, that's why I can lay my head on my pillow at night. I don't have to worry about going to hell in the middle of the night. Because He don't change. He made me a promise. He'll never break that promise. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your people. Thank you, dear God, for the Word of God, for your presence. Lord, I'm glad that we can stand boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly, and say, you are the Lord, and Lord, you will not change. Lord, one day we're going to meet you. One day, Lord, we'll have to give an account of the things done in our body. God, I pray that you'd help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. God, for that one that's here today that doesn't know Jesus, I pray, Lord, today you'd speak to that heart. Lord, you're never going to change. You said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. You said that 2,000 years ago, and it's still true today. If a person comes to Jesus, they can get the help that they need. Bless in this invitation, Lord.